From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message entitled, The Message of Acts, A Militant and Triumphant Witness, part of this series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. Acts demonstrates the work of the Holy Spirit in spreading the gospel and building the Church of Jesus Christ in the years immediately following the Lord's resurrection. The new believers are shown as people who are chosen by God, who are prepared by their study of God's Word, who are filled with the Holy Spirit, whose chief activities are prayer and preaching the gospel. Three motives run through the book: God's power, His purpose, and His program for evangelism. Also, we've seen that although the gospel message resulted in thousands of conversions, it was met with powerful opposition by both religious and governmental leaders. As we'll see, the Holy Spirit gave His people power to preach with persuasion and to suffer with patience. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will conclude this message. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Drawing Near to God. The text is James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. The nearer we come to God, the more graciously will He reveal Himself to us. When the prodigal comes to his father runs to meet him. When the wandering dove returns to the ark, Noah puts out his hand to pull her in unto him. When the tender wife seeks her husband's society, he comes to her on wings of love. Come then, dear friend, let us draw nigh to God who so graciously awaits us, yea, comes to meet us. Did you ever notice that passage in Isaiah 58, verse 9? There the Lord seems to put Himself at the disposal of His people, saying to them, Here I am, as much as to say, What have you to say to me? What can I do for you? I am waiting to bless you. How can we hesitate to draw near? God is nigh to forgive, to bless, to comfort, to help, to quicken, to deliver. Let it be the main point with us to get near to God. This done, all is done. If we draw near to others, they may before long grow weary of us and leave us. But if we seek the Lord alone, no change will come over His mind, but He will continue to come nearer and yet nearer to us by fuller and more joyful fellowship.
Thank you.
From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips have been available on the LTBS radio website, but we are now making available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of it free of charge simply by requesting it. You may email ltbs at freepres.org, that's ltbs at freepres.org, or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns.
the Holy Spirit's power overcomes the opposition of men and builds the church to start the cycle of the book of Acts all over again. When you come into this book, you find that he gave his power to these people. He gave them power to preach with persuasion. What do we need today? More learned preachers? Listen, there's a higher standard of education among preachers, generally. That's not true in every denomination. Not true, for instance, in Presbyterianism. And I speak as a Presbyterianism, as a Presbyterian. Presbyterian ministers in earlier days were much more highly educated than the normal Presbyterian minister today. But looking generally at the denominations, the level of education among pastors is higher than it has ever been before. Certainly the tools to help them, the academic tools, are more abundant than ever before. And preaching has never been more pathetic in the history of the Protestant church than it is today. Never more pathetic. Now, there are a few outstanding exceptions to the rule for which I give God thanks. But preaching is at an all-time low. Most preachers have no more talent to preach than I have to walk on a tightrope. When I tell you that I can hardly keep my balance on a sidewalk, you'll see I'm not much use on a tightrope. Those who have the native talent to preach normally preach stuff that's not worth going to hear. When I hear people who say, I never hear of Christ, I have never heard a message on justification, I don't know what the Bible teaches about the blood, I know that there's mention of the blood, but I don't know the blood atonement has never actually been expounded. The resurrection and all its implications has never been expounded. I wonder, what on earth are preachers preaching about? They've never preached about Christ the prophet, Christ the priest, or Christ the king. So what are they preaching about? A storytelling bunch that will come and go and they'll not be lamented. So what do we need today? We need people like these people, alone with God, waiting before working, praying before preaching, getting power before they get out to perform their ministry. They need people who have the power of the Holy Spirit to preach with persuasion. I want to tell you, it's not learning. There's nothing wrong with biblical learning, but it's not learning that convinces a soul. It's not academics that will give a man conviction of sin and faith in Christ. It's God, the Holy Spirit, moving through his truth. We need power to preach with persuasion. He gave them power in their own lives to suffer with patience. And they needed that. It's an aspect of the work of the Holy Spirit that's greatly overlooked. And he gave them, when they needed it, the power to die in peace. Did anybody ever die better than Stephen died? We can read those words, you know, and his face was like the face of an angel. Hold a second. You're talking about a man standing up against a rugged, rough wall that would cut his skin even by being pushed against it. And great rocks are smashing against his body. His bones are being crushed. Open wounds are appearing. His blood is flowing. Every muscle is aching. His face is being smashed in. His cranium is being crushed. And yet through it all, he has the look of an angel. How do you do that? How do you do it? That's not willpower. That's not character. That's the power of the Spirit of God. No, I tell you, we need that power today. When I look at the book of Acts, I say, Lord, that's what we need. That's what we want. Think of what he did. He came upon a praying people in Acts chapter 2. He brought 3,000 people to Christ in one single day. He performed great acts of power that set the whole world a-talking. He gave them boldness to stand no matter what the opposition. He brought new people into Christ every single day. He opened the door to the Gentiles in one whole communities for the Savior. He planted churches in every place, however unlikely, and they took root and they bore fruit. That's what God did. In the book of Acts, the first part is Peter. God did it through Peter. In the second part, God did it through Paul and many other people, the Jews and the Gentiles. God did a work among each. I thought of something that I leave with you in closing. The gospel found the Roman Empire pagan. And then it did three things, and these are vital. It evangelized it. It civilized it. Now, some historians would take issue with that. They would say, was not Rome a great civilizing power? And in a way it was. It was the, in fact, our very word civilization is the Latin word for a citizen, a kiwes. That's so it's just, it was a civilizing power, but it was a pagan civilization with all the rottenness and all the wickedness and all the foulness and all the filthiness. I mean, it was a civilized society where rich men would lie down upon their couches around their tables. They would eat and they would eat and they would eat and they would eat and they would eat. And when they could eat no more, they would go out, stick their fingers down their throat, get rid of all they had eaten so that they could just come in and do it all again. That was their civilization. It was their civilization that took their newborn babes and set them by the banks of the Tiber and left them there to die because they were unwanted pregnancies. Again, is there anything new under the sun? That was their civilization. So the gospel first evangelized, then it civilized, and then it Christianized. Now these are things about which there is much dispute. God's people in America today are divided into bitterly opposing camps. We have people who want nothing to do with revival. That has no place in their plans at all. They want to have dominion theology. They want to have a reconstruction of American society on the lines of Old Testament law and even, according to some of them, along the lines of medieval Christendom. The Lord help their wit. I thought the Reformation saved us from medieval Christendom, and I don't want any return to it. But that's another story. But this is their idea. They want to Christianize the country. There are those who want to civilize the country. That's at the heart of the campaign against sodomy. That's at the heart of the campaign against abortion. Now, it is right to want to Christianize the country. It is right to want to civilize the country. I mean, any Christian that could sit back and say, I'm happy that this be a pagan country, there's something wrong with his head. Any Christian that can sit back and say, I don't care about the thousands of sodomites who march and who have the ear of the President of the United States, there's something wrong with that Christian. Any Christian who can think of the millions of little children who have been brutally murdered for no other reason than having the audacity to be conceived, something wrong with that Christian. There's nothing wrong with wanting to see the nation Christianized and civilized. But my friend, the point of the book of Acts is you will not do it by politics. You will not do it by social action. It will be in God's order. Evangelize it, civilize it, and Christianize it. That's how God did it. You see, when you think of it, when the gospel saves a soul and makes a man a new creature in Christ, and it does it again and again and again and again, and there are many souls saved. Isn't it natural that when we have enough new creatures in Christ, they will radically affect their nation? Surely they will. And that's the justification, by the way. That is the justification. for the great number of Christians that there are in America to seek radically to affect the affairs of this nation. I am not a believer that Christians should be mere onlookers in the affairs of their nation. I think that has been the curse of evangelicalism for too long. And certainly Christians have that God-given, not only right, but responsibility. But what I'm saying to you is, the job of the church is not social action. The job of the church is not to Christianize the political structures. The job of the church is first to evangelize. And as the result of its evangelism, its people will civilize and Christianize the nation. In fact, when the church in the early days started to Christianize and civilize, it got politicized and it lost its spiritual power. The book of Acts then is a very appropriate book for today. And I trust that we will see that God has never withdrawn the Holy Spirit to come upon His church, to fill His people with power, to bless their witness, to overcome the attacks of the world and of the devil, so that the entire cycle of waiting, being filled with the Spirit, going forth with the gospel, winning the lost for Christ, opening up new countries, new villages, new towns, new peoples, new communities, that whole cycle may be experienced again. Here is the book for today. We have the message. The world opposes it. But we have the Holy Spirit, the power to give us victory, to see our vision fulfilled. May the Lord do that and use us in this way for His name's sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless Thy word. We thank Thee for it. We bless Thee for the Holy Spirit whom Thou hast given as Thy gift to Thy church. We thank Thee that Acts is not only history, but Lord, we bless Thee, it is vital for us today, and we thank Thee it is for us to experience. Gracious God and Father in heaven, pour out Thy Spirit once again, fill each believer here with Thy power, enable us to preach with that persuasion that wins men for Christ. O God, bless and attend Thy word with that power. Remember those who are not saved. Lord, we pray, call them effectually to repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Answer prayer, O God. Part us with Thy blessing. Be our abiding portion now and evermore. And grant that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit our Comforter may be our abiding portion now and evermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.